We are camping toward Canaan's land, as we just sang about, and as Moses said unto Hobab, come thou with us, and we'll do thee good. Numbers chapter 10 and verse 29. We're glad and grateful for the coming of each one this afternoon. I'm thankful for those who've come before me and leading songs and wording prayers. Appreciate the prayers offered on behalf of me and also my family. It means a great deal to us. Encouraged by being together with you. I want to talk to us for just a few moments this afternoon about the topic, conviction or convenience. Too many would rather have a religion of convenience rather than conviction. Conviction is defined as a fixed or firm belief. It takes conviction for us to do what is right. The courageous will take a stand, and we can if we want to bad enough. On the other hand, convenience is that which is easy or comfortable. It's not always easy to do the right thing. Taking a stand is not always comfortable. The coward is ashamed, and there are many who just want to go with the flow. Water will follow the path of least resistance, and that's the path that so many people take when it comes to religious matters. Ask yourself the question, and I'll do the same this afternoon, is mine a religion of conviction or convenience? I take us back to the reading just a moment ago. Appreciate Brother Darrell reading from 1 Kings chapter 12. It's the opening of the period of the divided kingdom. In 1 Kings 12, we read of Jeroboam and Rehoboam and how that Jeroboam initiated false worship. He substituted golden calves for Jehovah. He changed the place of worship from Jerusalem to Dan and to Bethel. He said to the children of Israel in 1 Kings 12 and verse 28, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel and the other put he in Dan. And the Bible reports this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. It would seem that he was trying to accommodate the people, that he was concerned about what was in the best interest of the people, that they didn't have to go so far to worship. But really, his interests were self-serving. He said in verse 27, if this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. And so he changes the place of worship from Jerusalem to Dan and to Bethel. Now bear in mind that God chose the place of worship. The people were not at liberty to choose where they were going to worship. In Deuteronomy chapter 16 and in verse 16, we learn from the fifth book of Moses that God was very specific as to worship. He chose the place of worship when it is said, three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. Now, in that passage, the place is not chosen, it's not named, it's not specified. But if you'll turn over to 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 36, you'll learn where God chose for men to worship at that time. It is said, of Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen me to put my name there. So out beside Deuteronomy 16 and verse 16, you might jot down 1 Kings 11 and verse 36. And so if you were a Jewish male under the Old Testament law, you were required to travel to Jerusalem three times a year to worship. Now that might not have been very convenient for some. It might have been more convenient to go to Dan or to Bethel, being closer for you to do that. And so really the religion of convenience dates back to Jeroboam of 1 Kings chapter 12. Would you have considered it too much to have gone up to Jerusalem to worship? Would you have rather gone to Dan or to Bethel out of convenience? If you worshiped out of conviction, if yours was a religion of conviction, where would you have been? You wouldn't have been worshiping in Dan. You wouldn't have been worshiping in Bethel because that was not the place God chose. And you would not have been bowing before a golden calf, an image that was made because in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, God said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And so you would not have been worshiping at Dan or Bethel, though it might have been more convenient for you to do so. Is yours a religion of conviction or convenience? Come now with me to the possessing of the promised land. You remember God said when he called Moses in the book of Exodus that he would give them the promised land. He'd take them into the land of possession, the land of promise. God had heard the cries of his people as they were afflicted in Egypt, as the Egyptian Pharaoh arose that knew not Joseph, and he appointed taskmasters and afflicted them with their burdens. Next is chapter 6 and verse 6. The Lord said, "I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. I'll take you to me for a people, and I'll be to you a God." In verse 8, he said, "I'll bring you in under the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord." And so the taking of the promised land was a matter of divine promise. The Lord said, "I will give it you." Now in the book of Numbers, in chapter 10, you remember the invitation that Moses extended to Hobab when he said, "We are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you." Numbers 10 and in verse 29. In Numbers chapter 13, we have the spy story where there were 12 sent to search the land of Canaan, Numbers 13 and verse 17. And then after 40 days of searching of the land, they report. Verse 26 says, they brought back word unto them. Verse 27, they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And so it's not going to be convenient for us to take the land. You see, it would have been a lot more convenient for them to just go back to Egypt. In fact, a lot of times that was their desire. When Stephen talked about that period of time in Acts chapter 7 and verse 39, he talked about how that in their hearts they turned back to Egypt. God never did allow them physically to go back to Egypt. But in their hearts they turned back to Egypt. And they would have if they could have. Numerous times throughout the wandering they make reference to Egypt and how better it was in Egypt. And so not convenient for us to take the land because of all these obstacles. Been more convenient to go back to Egypt. But out of a matter of conviction, that's where God was leading his people. Notice Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit about them. Caleb stilled the people in verse 30 and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Why would they have been well able to overcome it? Because the Lord said, "I will give it you." When God says, "I will give it you," you can rest assured that you can take possession of it. But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land. They said in verse 32 that the inhabitants thereof, all people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. We saw the giants, the sons of Anak, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Joshua and Caleb had conviction about them. You see, they didn't lean to their own understanding. They trusted in the Lord with all of their heart. But these others, too inconvenient, wasn't it, for the majority? And so if you'd been in that scene, would you have operated out of conviction, or would it have been a matter of convenience? Would you have thought it's too much for us to do that? If we're going to have to fight for every inch of ground that we take possession of, that just sounds like a lot of work. That's going to be too much trouble. That's going to be inconvenient. Let's dwell somewhere else. Let's just go back to Egypt. Let's forget about the whole thing. What would have been your mentality, your mindset, your attitude about that? You know, sometimes there are those who don't take possession of things because They don't want to work for it. They don't want to fight for it. Every inch of ground that the Lord's people have ever taken possession of, whether that be physically in the Old Testament or spiritual advancement for the cause of truth, we've had to fight for that. And that's too inconvenient for some people. But also, as you think about the time of Jeroboam and the religion of his, a religion of convenience, too much to go up to Jerusalem, go to Dan or go to Bethel. And this time of possessing the land, I realize that there are a lot of people who lack conviction. We could spend an enormous amount of time just looking through the scriptures of people that didn't have conviction. And we see that around us today. There are those that just don't have conviction. They don't have that firm, that unwavering belief. They won't stand up for what the Bible teaches. They're lacking in conviction. But I believe John 12 is one such place that we could turn. There are a lot of people like this in verses 42 and 43. When the Bible says, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him." Why didn't they confess him? They believed, didn't they? Why didn't they confess him? "Lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." I suggest to you, here are some folks who are lacking conviction. They believe, but they wouldn't confess. Will such be saved? I read in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There may be some who believe, but they don't confess. They're lacking conviction. Let me take just a few moments and call attention to some individuals in the Scriptures who put conviction before convenience. And that they believed God and they did what God said, even though it wasn't convenient for them to do so. You see, serving God is not always a matter of convenience. Doing what is right is not always easy. It never has been. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, I read of people who put conviction before convenience. Hebrews 11, 4, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." Was that convenient? Was it? Or was that a matter of conviction? "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God," Romans 10 and verse 17. It might have been more convenient for him to offer some other sacrifice, but he didn't. He offered a more excellent sacrifice, "by the which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaking." What about Noah? He put conviction before convenience. I wonder how convenient it was for him to build an ark. When God said, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood," would have been a lot more convenient not to do that, wouldn't it? Just go along with the majority. Just go with the flow. Just follow a multitude. But Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. He had fear of God in his heart. And the fear of God moved him to prepare or make an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. That was a matter of conviction. Remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. If he didn't build the ark like God told him to, then he wouldn't have been a man of faith. He wouldn't have been a man of conviction, would he? And so he put conviction before convenience. What about Abraham? In verse 8, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance," the Bible says, "obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went." Read that in Genesis 11 and 12. God told him to leave his homeland, to go to a place he didn't have the idea where he was going. It had not been revealed unto him. "A place I will show thee." It would be a lot more convenient to just stay home, wouldn't it? You ever leave home for a little while? It takes some doings, doesn't it? Imagine packing up your belongings and heading out, not knowing where you're going, what it's going to be like, how long you're going to be gone. Would you have been questioning the Lord about that? Where are we going? How long are we going to be gone? What all do I need to take with me? No indication that he questioned the Lord about that. The Bible says he arose and went. He obeyed. Been a lot more convenient to stay home. Not convenient to go, was it? What about in verse 9 when the Bible says, "By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise." You know, he had no continuing city. There are those who think, "I'd like to stay in a city. I want to be established there. I want to put down roots. I want to have a place that's called home." And this is a place where I'm going to dwell all of my years, and then my children are going to dwell here and my grandchildren. I know folks like that. There are some who, they've lived on the same parcel of land for generations, been in their family. Abraham didn't do that. It'd been a lot more convenient to stay put in one place, wouldn't it? Sojourning from place to place, living in a tent from place to place, or a tabernacle. Not very convenient, was it? But you know he did that by faith. Matter of conviction, wasn't it? How about in verse 17? By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. You think that was convenient for him? When in Genesis chapter 22, God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and offer him for a sacrifice. Had to journey to the place, had to make preparations for that. Wouldn't have been convenient to do that, would it? Imagine offering your only son. Offering a child, offering a sacrifice like that. He did that as a matter of conviction, not out of convenience. That wasn't easy for him. Nothing comfortable about that. But that's what God said, wasn't it? How about Moses in verse 23? When in verse 24, he come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Was that easy? How comfortable are afflictions? Not easy, was it? It had been convenient for him to remain in Egypt. It would have been convenient for him to just be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Look at the riches and the position that would have entitled him to. But he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Why did he do that? By faith. It was a matter of conviction. And likewise, all of these that are chronicled in the great chapter of faith. You read in verse 33 of those who stopped the mouths of lions. Does that remind you of anybody? How about Daniel? When in Daniel chapter 6, prayer was outlawed. And it was Daniel's habit, it was his custom to go into his room and three times a day pray before God. And when he knew that the writing had been signed that prohibited law, he went into his room and the Bible says he prayed to God as he did aforetime. Was that convenient? Face being cast into a den of lions. It's been easy not to have done that, wouldn't it? Been easier to just say, I think I'll just take a little break from praying for a little while. I mean, surely God would understand. God would understand that. He wouldn't expect me to endanger myself to be cast into a den of lions. And so I'll take just a little prayer sabbatical, if you will. And once all this passes, then I'll get back to my praying. Didn't change his prayer habits. He prayed. It's an example of when Paul said, pray without ceasing. He didn't stop praying. Was it convenient? No. And so his wasn't a religion of convenience, it was a conviction. How about in verse 34, quench the violence of fire? Remember his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Think it was convenient for them to not bow down? It'd been easy to go with the crowd, wouldn't it? Been more comfortable instead of facing being cast into a furnace of fire. The convenient thing to do at that time would have been to bow down with everybody else. And they could have justified that in their own mind and rationalized that different ways, just like some people. They'll attend a place and they'll think, well, while other people are giving and their money is going to support things that the Bible doesn't teach, my money is not going in that direction. It's going for the things that are scriptural, see. Or I know that there are others, they'll go use this room for social purposes, but I'm not going to do that as long as I'm a member there. I'm not going to involve myself in that. Or while others are singing with the musical instrument, I'm singing without it. And so they could have thought, while others are bowing down to that image of Nebuchadnezzar, we're not doing that. We're bowing and we're going to say our own personal prayer to God. They didn't do that. They didn't compromise their conviction. They yielded their bodies. Remember that? It'd been easy for them to just bow down, wouldn't it? Wasn't convenient to be brought before the king and to be cast into that furnace of fire. But that's a matter of conviction because of what the Bible teaches, what God said, the law of God. And so It doesn't make any difference. Read through Hebrews 11. Look at all those folks. And realize that theirs was not a religion of convenience. They put conviction before convenience. How about Christians in the first century? Paul is a classic example. He was a man of conviction, wasn't he? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 13, he said, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak." Paul, why did you say what you did? Did you really believe that? Absolutely. I said it because I believe it. You know, some people say, well, you can just hold that as a matter of private conviction. Just don't tell anybody. How's that work? How can you really be convicted about something and just not tell anybody, not say something? Keep it to yourself. The Lord said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." You can't keep that to yourself. If it's gospel truth, it needs to be told. And so Paul was a man of conviction. It wasn't always convenient for him. Read 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 28. He said, "In stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft, of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one." You think those stripes and imprisonments and beatings and stonings were comfortable? It'd been easier to follow the path of least resistance, wouldn't it? To not have to endure all of those afflictions. And then when he wrote Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, remember what he had to say in verse 12? "For the which cause I also suffer these things." Paul, why'd you go through all of that? Wasn't convenient for you. Why'd you do it? He said, "Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Though it wasn't convenient, it was a matter of conviction. He was committed to God come what may. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 16, he said, "No man stood with me. All men forsook me." Been easy to go along with every man, wouldn't it? "They're forsaking, I think I will too." But he stood. Why? He was convicted. How about those in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11? When the Bible says, "They love not their lives unto the death." Not very easy. Their religion was not one of convenience or comfort, but it was one of conviction. You see, the faithful put conviction before convenience. I want to submit to you in the fifth place this afternoon that many churches are nothing more really than religious convenience centers. Think about how that churches in the denominational world are convenience centers for so many people. Why, it's convenient to just join the church of your choice. It makes no difference what church you're a member of. Just join the church of your choice. Whatever is most convenient for you. Whichever one is most comfortable to you. Whatever is easiest. Yet the Bible teaches there is one body. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. Which is the church. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. May not be as convenient to visit and attend and be a faithful member of the one body. Might be more convenient to find one closer, one more comfortable. So just join the church of your choice, we're told. Or the plea is just come as you are. Come as you are. That's common. Come as you are and come and go as you please. You can do that in a lot of places. Repentance is not required. No need to make any changes. Right? Yet the plea of the prophets, the preaching of Jesus, the apostles, men of God in the first century, was repent. Jonah, except ye repent, what's going to happen? 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. The plea and the preaching of the prophets returned to the Lord. Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 13, 3 and 5. John the Baptist came preaching. Paul said, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17, 30. And the basic meaning of the word repent is to change. But folks aren't being encouraged or required to change. Just come as you are and stay as you are and feel good about it and maybe feel even better when you leave about your present situation, even though it may not be right with the Lord. That's convenient, isn't it? The doctrine of justification by faith only. All you have to do is believe. That's convenient. And yet the Bible says not by faith only, James 2 and verse 24. It's preached that you can be baptized if you want to, but you don't have to be. Maybe when it's convenient for you, you might think about it, but not to be saved. Yet Jesus said, he that believeth is baptized should be saved, Mark 16:60. Or, you know, to be immersed in water, that might be a little inconvenient. We can sprinkle a little on you, and that'll take care of it. So sprinkling of a little water upon a person is substituted for immersion of the whole person in water. And yet the Bible says buried and planted, Romans 6, 4, and 5. But that's not convenient. You can take the Lord's Supper when convenient. You don't have to take that every Sunday. That might be a little inconvenient. And so we'll have it once a month, or we'll have it once a quarter, or maybe we'll just have it once or twice a year. Maybe on Christmas or Easter. You take it when it's convenient. Yet upon the first day of the week, Acts 20 and verse 7, and every week has a first day. Provisions are made for the satisfaction of man's carnal nature. And so we make it convenient for you. You come and we have a room that we'll have a dining room. We have a kitchen. And in fact, while we're worshiping, the ladies will be preparing the meal. When the worship is over, we'll have a meal. We'll call that fellowship. You know, the Bible talks about they continued in fellowship. And we'll have our period of fellowship. Though fellowship in the Bible always is referred to joint participation in spiritual activities. That's a matter of convenience for some people. That's appealing to some people. Appeals to their carnal nature. We'll have food and fun and frolic, entertainment, recreation. There's some places you could attend while you're in worship, they'll change the oil in your automobile. That's convenient. That's what some people want, a religion of convenience. And we teach in the religious world that once you're saved, you're always saved. Right? And so you come as you are, and you come and go as you please, and you're justified by faith only. You don't have to repent, and you can be baptized if you want to be, but you don't have to be. And once you're saved, you're always saved, and so you can live as you want to live, and you go to heaven when it's all over. That's a religion of convenience. And there are some who, unfortunately, have tried to change the church of our Lord into a convenience center. They think that they can just kind of come and go as they please and drop in and out and not be committed, not be involved. Not make the changes that the Lord expects to be made. But the church of my Lord is not a convenience center. Jesus didn't die for that. Was it convenient for the Lord to go to the cross and to die? Was that easy? Was that comfortable? When they put the crown of thorns on his head and they scourged him, was that comfortable? Did he die as a matter of convenience? Then why should I try to serve him out of convenience? Why should I have to relegate to him to a place where it's convenient and it's easy for me and it's comfortable for me? Because what he did certainly wasn't comfortable and easy for him. And he did that for me. And yet I want to assign him a place of convenience in my life. And I want to schedule everything I want to do around him and put him when I have convenient time for him. And I find I don't have any time at all because it's just not convenient. It crimps my schedule, some people think. In the remainder of our time, let me think with you briefly about the fact that convenience causes one to neglect his duty. In the book of James chapter 4 and verse 17, the writer said, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." You know, in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, through neglect, through sin, out of convenience, there are those who are conformed to this world rather than being transformed. It's convenient to be conformed. It's easy to go with the flow. It's a matter of conviction to be transformed, right? Romans 12, 1 and 2, he said that you present your body as a living sacrifice. Sacrifice costs something. In the Old Testament, it was the animal that was the victim. You and I are the victim spiritually. We are the object. We sacrifice ourselves. And he says, that's your reasonable service. Nothing unreasonable about that. He said, be not conformed to this world. Don't be patterned after the passing age in which you live, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? It's easy to be conformed. You know, when you've got the majority of people going to a place and you feel like you're the only one not going, what's the path of least resistance? To go with them, wherever that is. If the majority of people are drinking alcohol and the beverage is passed to you, it might be convenient for you to just drink, but out of a matter of conviction, you say, no, I'm not going to drink. You put convenience before conviction or conviction before convenience. When dancing comes around and everybody else is going, it'd be convenient for me to not go or to go. What about out of a matter of conviction? What am I going to do? You know, if you're the only one going, everybody else would stay at home. It'd be more convenient to stay home, wouldn't it? If that was reversed. Conviction or convenience? Convenient to be conformed. Easy to do that. Much more difficult to be transformed, isn't it? So what are you doing? Are you putting convenience before conviction or conviction before convenience? What about when it comes to Bible study? It's convenient to sleep late, isn't it? Be easy to do that. I'm tired, I've been working, I'm just wore out, I'm just going to rest, I'm going to sleep. Conviction causes me to study, doesn't it? 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so it's convenient to sleep. It's a matter of conviction that I study. It might be convenient to stay home, but out of conviction I assemble. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Some have the manner or the habit of just staying home. It may be more convenient to do that. I mean, it takes some effort, takes some work, takes some sacrifice to get the family together, to get everybody ready, and to make the trip to worship. It would be a lot more convenient to not do that. We've encountered that in our travels. It's a matter of conviction in our family that when the Lord's Day comes around, that we assemble with the saints. That doesn't make any difference where we are. If we're in Terre Haute, we do that. If we're in Florida, we do that. If we're out in California, we do that. When the Lord's people assemble together on the Lord's Day, we're going to be there. It's not always been convenient to do that. There's a place we've liked to vacation in the past, down in Florida, that the closest church to the place we're staying is an hour and a half away. Be a lot more convenient to just stay put with it. What we do? Get up early in the morning and we make our trip over and we worship with the brethren. Get there for Bible study, we worship. And they have an evening service. What do we do? We spend our day in that area. We might eat, get a meal, we might look around a little bit. Though there were some that we had vacationed with in that area, it was their habit that they'd just go in the morning and they'd go back and do what they wanted to do the rest of the day. But it was a matter of conviction that we stayed around and we went in the evening as well. It'd been more convenient to just go back to where we're staying, wouldn't it? As a matter of conviction, not out of convenience. And here's one reason we do that, because that was our habit. That's our practice here, that when the church assembles in the morning, we're here in the afternoon. Now, some don't do that. And I got to thinking about, if we compromise that, what kind of example is that going to set? What kind of precedent is that going to set for our young family, our boys? If we can forsake the Sunday afternoon service in this situation out of convenience, and we might have been able to justify that in so many ways, we could rationalize that. We'll just go back and we'll do our own little thing and we won't have to do that. But if we compromise in that one situation, I just wonder what we might have been teaching them, what lesson they might have learned from that. But if it's okay to do it in this one situation, then why wouldn't it be okay to do it in every other situation? And so that's been our practice. When we traveled out west, we realized that the churches are few and far between. Went up into Alberta, Canada, and coming back on a Saturday, and we had plans to worship with the church in Montana. We get to the assembling place Saturday evening late, and we look around. If lo and behold, they've got all kind of unscriptural things. You can tell from what we see, it's not a sound church. It'd been convenient to just stay there and meet with them. But we drove all night into South Dakota. We knew there was a sound church that we'd worshiped with before. We rolled in about 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. Only got about an hour, hour and a half sleep. Wasn't convenient to do that. But it was a matter of conviction, of trying to find a faithful congregation to meet with. Convenience over conviction, or conviction over convenience. We have to make decisions what we're going to do about that. We've been places where you have to plan ahead. Where are you going to be on the Lord's Day? We're going to be on Wednesday night. It's our practice to come together here on Wednesday night. Some places meet on Tuesday or Thursday. But it'd been convenient to just stay at the National Park, wouldn't it? Just spend a little time together. We could have done that, I reckon. Some people think you can. You have to work that all out. But it was our decision out of conviction that we were going to travel to a place where the brethren were, to meet with the brethren. And we did that. Hopefully we could be of some encouragement to them. Think about what it would mean to the church here if there were folks that were vacationing in a distant area. And churches were few and far between in Indiana. And here they are, and they come on a Wednesday night and they make their visit. They're vacationing, and they want to spend the Wednesday night period with brethren to be encouraged, to be edified. And so there's a lot of things that you think about out of conviction, not necessarily convenience. Not very convenient to drive 8 or 10 hours in one day to get to a place to meet with brethren. That's not very convenient. But I tell you what, we were edified, we were encouraged, we had opportunity to sing and to make melody and to sit at the feet of someone else, meet brethren, brothers and sisters that we had not met before. That's encouraging. And so we do things out of conviction, not out of convenience. Convenient to let people alone. But out of conviction, we teach them. You know, some people don't want to be disturbed, don't want to be bothered. And I think, you know, it'd be a lot easier not to say anything to this person. To avoid that issue, not teach on that, not touch on that, because I don't know how they're going to take that. They might get upset about that. And so I don't think I'm going to talk about that. Convenience. I'm going to take the path of least resistance. Easy to do that. Some preachers do that. A lot of churches take that path. But out of conviction, we teach the truth, because it's what it takes to save people's souls. Matthew 28:19-20. Out of convenience, some people are lazy. It takes conviction to work, doesn't it? To always abound in the work of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15:58. To work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians 2:12. It's convenient for some to not become a Christian. You remember Felix? He said, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. When it's convenient for me. No indication that it ever became convenient for him. Acts 24:25. You see, it takes conviction to obey. And that's what they had in Acts 2, the same day. The jailer in Acts 16, the same hour. Conviction over convenience. It's convenient to quit. You see, when the going gets tough, there are a lot of people that quit. The tough get going, is what I've always heard. It takes conviction to keep on, to endure, to be faithful unto death. Matthew 10:22. He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. The Lord said, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. Convenience or conviction? Oh, there'd be some modern day Jeroboams who come along and they say, it's too much for you to do that. And they want to accommodate you, make it easy for you, make it comfortable for you. Would you have been going to Jerusalem anyway? Or would you have settled for Dan or Bethel? Would you have taken possession of the promised land, even though it wasn't convenient to do that? Would you have fought for the territory that the Lord promised? Are you like those in John 12, you believe, but you don't want to confess because you're afraid of what might happen? May we imitate those Hebrews 11 people. Be like Paul and first century Christians and put conviction before convenience. realize that many churches are religious convenience centers. They cater to the convenience of people. But the church was not created by the Lord or planned by God to be a convenience center. And how the convenience often causes us to neglect our duties. May God help each one of us to put conviction before convenience. There might be a lot of other things we could do that would be more convenient. But convenience doesn't make it right. We can if we really want to bad enough. That's what it boils down to. If I want to be there, I will be there. Right? If you had been a Jew in the Old Testament, if you wanted to go to Jerusalem, you'd have found a way to get to Jerusalem, wouldn't you? If you wanted to bad enough. And if I want to go to heaven, I'm going to find a way to get there. I can do it. Through Christ. Having heard the gospel, would you believe it? Would you repent of your sins? Would you confess your faith? Would you be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of sins? You might say, oh, that's not convenient. It'll never be any more convenient than it is right now. Would you do that out of conviction? Would you say, I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? We'll baptize you. There's water, there's clothing, towels, everything's available that you can put on Christ. Maybe you've obeyed the gospel, but you've not been as faithful as you need to be. Maybe you've been trying to serve the Lord out of convenience. Convenient to not go. Convenient to stay. Convenient to do something other than, less than what the Lord says. And you realize that you've been neglecting spiritual things. And that's sin. Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not to him it is sin. And out of conviction, you want to repent of that. And you want to ask for forgiveness. And you want to do better. You want to be faithful. We bid you come. Always stand and sing the song.